Glory to God. Well, last week we went a different direction. I didn't know if that would be a one-off or a series, but there was a lot there we could hardly get past. We couldn't get past the first couple verses, but so I think we'll be on here for some time. There's a lot here. James 1:22. Let's go ahead and turn over there, or it's on your sheet as well. James 1:22. James 1:22. Everybody there? All right. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." Amen. We talk about being doers of the word. Let's look on your sheet and read this in the Voice version. It says, "Put into action, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget as soon as they hear it. One minute they look into the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth found in God's law of liberty and live by it. If you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed." Amen. Last sentence is a mouthful, but there's a lot here. Doers of the word. Let's look at verse 22 in the New King James. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Look at verse 22 in the Voice again. Put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. And we spent some time here last time. There is, in this day and age, has always been, I think, probably somewhat like this. This is why James is writing this. But there is sometimes a lot of emphasis on hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you need to hear the word in order to have faith. But hearing alone will not do you any good. If it's just hearing, you could hear that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the one who takes away the sin of the whole world, that he's paid for the sin of the whole world today. A person could hear that, and that if you would call on him, the Bible says in Romans again 10, that if you call, anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it goes on to say, so how will they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? It goes on to say, basically, you have to hear the word. Let's just go over there and look at it real quick. Romans 10, verse 13. In case you're not familiar with it. Now we'll go back to verse 8, actually, and read that, and then just in context, go down. Romans 10:8. Everybody there? It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go down to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you can't call unless you believe. How shall they not believe in him of whom they have not heard? So you have to hear so that you can believe, so that you can call. How they shall they not hear without a preacher? So you need a preacher to proclaim, so you can hear, so you can believe, so you can call. How shall they preach unless they're sent? So somebody's got to be sent. Good news is everybody, the body of Christ, has been sent. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So you need somebody to preach, somebody to be sent so that they can preach, so that you can hear, so then you can believe. But when you believe, then you have to call. In verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear the word so faith can come. When you hear the word in any subject, faith will be there. But you have to act on it. Do you know you can hear this word? You can hear what we just read, that Jesus, he died, he rose again. He was the penalty. He was the ransom for our sin. But we need to call on him in order for him to make him our Savior, in order to receive what he already did. Hearing is not good enough. Do you know people hear about Jesus and reject it? People hear what Jesus did, but not today. No, I won't. Call on him today. I'll do it later. They don't act. Or they've rejected all completely and say, I don't believe any of that. That's nonsense. That's a story. That's somebody's belief, but that's not truth. Well, hearing didn't do that person any good. Acting on the word, calling, the Bible says in the verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, you have to do something with it. It's not just hearing. So hearing is good. We have to hear the word of God in order for faith to come, but we have to act on it, or else it doesn't do us any good. So go back to verse 22. James 1:22, in the voice on your sheet there, we were reading. It says, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been what? Deceived. And in this day and age, you can hear so much. You don't have to show up in a place with a physical person speaking in order to hear, because now we have recordings. And you don't even have to have physical media. You don't have to have the tape. We have past tapes now. You don't have to have CD. You don't have to have the USB drive. You just need a way to connect to any number of sites, and you can hear somebody preaching the word. This is good. I mean, thank God for technology, and thank God it's available, but like anything, people misuse it. And they put wrong emphasis on it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. You know? Just because your refrigerator is full of your favorite food does not mean you should empty it when you go to the refrigerator. Just because you can't, just because you open the bag of cookies doesn't mean you eat them all. You could, but doesn't mean you should. Just because you have access to as many movies as you want doesn't mean when the credits stop rolling and those other movies pop up on the screen that you should click on the next one. And then when that one's done, you should click on the next one and just stay there all day. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that's a good thing for you or me, right? But this is the state of mankind. It's temptation. Just one more. You know the Lay's motto? Can't eat just one. Lay's chips. They're betting on that. Get a hook in you, right? Same thing with so many things. Well, the Word of God is not, we're using it as an analogy, but it's not like those things, but people treat it like that. Well, I'll just get another one, and I can go to this person or this person, and I just get so much of the Word, I just want to become full of the Word. Well, yeah, that's a good thing. You want the Word overflowing, but how and with what? Because it's not about just getting a bunch of quote-unquote Word into you. Number one, we're saying Word. But we're actually hearing a bunch of people talking about the Word. And you know you can get full of people talking about the Word, but not actually have much actual Word in you. And because people have emphasized hearing, they just think, I can go anywhere and just get the Word. It's important just to get the Word and just get more Word. And they'll, you know, maybe watch on TV and they'll just watch this person talk about it. Then they'll watch this person talk about something unrelated, but it's the Word, so it must be good. And just one after another. What did our verse say? Verse 22, put the Word, what? Into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been, what? Deceived. And just, so then, put this, hold that thought for a second, but go into, well, look at the last part of verse 25. Let's just read it in the voice. If you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to amnesia of the true things, and what? You will be blessed. Look at back in the New King James Version, verse 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So who is going to be blessed, the hearer or the doer? The doer. Is it possible to hear something and not actually do it?
Yes.
Huh? Yep. Of course, we've all done it. I've heard it, but I don't do it. Well, are you going to be blessed if you hear it and not do it like you would if you would hear it and do it? No. So, if we hear and we don't do, at the end of the day, it doesn't really do us a whole lot of good. And here's the thing. When we just get, you can only digest so much at once. We covered this, I'm just going over a little bit of what we talked about last time. But everybody realize that in the natural, with food, when you sit down to eat, you can only digest so much. You can only eat so much, and then you can only digest so much at one time, right? Am I the only one that wish sometimes my stomach was bigger when you're sitting at some place where you really like the food? You know, there's been times I've gone home or someplace where I can't get the food all the time. I'm not going to be able to get it back out when I move. And I'm eating this, and I'm hitting my limit, and I'm like, I want to eat more, but if I eat more, I'm going to pay for it. I can't eat anymore. I want to eat. I want more. But I can only digest so much. And you know what? You know, sometimes you're in, anybody been to like a cookout or an all day or all afternoon type of thing, you know, sometimes on the 4th of July or something that's like this, but you can have a party where you eat some, but then you go around and walk around a little bit, but then the food's out. So you've digested a little bit, and you know there's a little more room in there, so you go hit it again, and you've got to just fill up again. Am I the only one that's ever done that? And then a little bit later, there's a little bit more room. Well, I think I could squeeze some more in. Well, we could. The thing is, your stomach's only so big, and it doesn't matter if you try to eat too much, you're probably going to get results you don't want. It's going to make yourself sick. I remember I used to love cream soda. That was my favorite soda. A&W cream soda. That was my favorite. I don't know, I can't remember how old I was, but that was it. I loved that stuff. But guess what I did? I drank too much of it one time. And I couldn't stand the stuff after that. And to this day, I don't like it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. It used to be my favorite. But too much of it. I couldn't, you know? Well, we're made like that naturally, just with normal food. You can only digest so much. Doesn't matter if you eat a lot. The eating is only part of it. Your body's got to turn it into energy and feed, you know, your muscles and everything else, right? If you're trying to build muscle, what you eat is very important. If you're going to try to get in certain shape, it's a lot. What you eat is very important. You can't eat the wrong stuff. It's not you're going to get the wrong results. You need to eat the right stuff, but you can't just sit there and eat. Even if you eat the right stuff and you just sit there and eat and don't do it anything with it, tell me what's going to happen. You're going to grow up and just be like a bodybuilder, right? If you just sit there and eat? Yeah. No. It's not going to go that way. It's going to go places you don't want it to go. What do you need to do? You need to do something with what you ate. You need to exercise so that your body, you need to do something with it. That's how you're going to get strong. But in Christian circles, Christianity, I've been around this thing my whole life, and we went through the teaching revival, and you hear all this good word. People had all this stuff available on tapes, and of course then CDs and all that, and you can just hear and hear and hear. Now, hearing's good. I'm not knocking hearing, because we need hearing. But you can only digest so much. You can only hear so much, and you can only act on so much. And what I've seen is that people will emphasize hearing, but not actually emphasize the doing of it so much, and actually place a premium on hearing. Like, if you've heard it, then it means kind of you know it. That's not true. It's not true that if we've heard it, we know it. So now we can hear there's so many sources to hear. So, well, I'll listen to this, and 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 I'm listening all day long. The problem is, what am I doing? Because what'll happen, especially if it's in different areas, different sources, different people, different focuses or foci or whatever the plural of that is, it can be confusing. It can be just you listen to something, God is ministering to you through it, but then you listen to something else, and part of that you just had was going because it's displacing. And then you listen to something else, and by the time you're in the third or fourth step, you don't even remember what you listened to at the beginning. And then to put any one of those things actually into practice is difficult. And so you come out, you've heard all this stuff, but you know what it a lot of times produces is a superficial, I've heard it, it's this sort of, it's not real, I wouldn't even call it understanding, it is just familiarity, But because I've heard it, there's this temptation. Well, I know it. And you know what? The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Love edifies, it builds up, but knowledge puffs up. What does that mean? It means it makes you arrogant. And so what people have, and I've seen this, we've all probably experienced it, when we have heard something, the temptation is, well, I know that. That's not true. Somebody said it this way, you know what you put into practice. You know what you do. It's not what you've heard. It's what you do. Because how many of you know when you do something, it's a whole lot different than hearing about it? Not any number of things. You know, my daughter, she's about ready to start taking driver's ed. I remember when I was taking driver's ed, and I went through this, I don't know how long it was. It was a while. It was in summer. I think it was over several weeks. We met on certain times, you know. But I remember driving with my parents. They've been driving for years, actually, on the road. I have maybe driven a little bit with them, and then, you know, I'm doing a simulator reading about driving and reading about the rules. But I don't have a lot of experience. How many of you would think, and not to disparage any teenagers, because we've all been there, but a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old, the amount of actual know-how in driving they have versus somebody that's 40 that's been driving for quite a while, which one do you think is more solid in their doing? Well, it's a no-brainer. What if the 15-year-old has been studying about driving since they were 8? They've been reading everything they do, and they've watched a lot of races on TV. What if you got a 30-year-old that's never actually been behind the wheel, but they play a lot of video games, race car video games? And they watch anytime NASCAR's on, anytime F1 racing's on, they're watching it, and they watch the pit crews, and they watch the camera behind the wheel, and they watch about all the way, you know, the strategy about passing and drafting, and, you know, they know all this stuff. They know how much the cars weigh, and they know what the parts, how fast they change the tires, and they know, they can quote you all this stuff, but they've never driven a car. Who do you want to ride with, that person or the person that's 40 that, or even 30 that's been driving for 14 years? Who do you want to be next to? Tell me. The guy that plays the video games or the guy that's actually been behind a real car? So is there a difference between hearing and doing? Just a little bit, right? How about the guy that has a bunch of baseball or football cards and reads all the stuff online about all the players, can tell you everybody, all the starting lineup of the Patriots, knows all their stats, everything, but has never actually played football. But he knows, he can quote everybody in the NFL. He knows every team. He knows all the records of everybody back to, 1995 and some back to 1975. And he can quote you them. I mean, you ask him, he's sharp. What about this? You know who quotes this? Well, it's this guy. What's this guy's weight? It's this. How fast is this guy's 40-yard dash? Got it. I know it. But never played football at all. Or he maybe just played, on the playground. Now, who do you want to go into a game with? Somebody that actually starts for the Patriots, or even a high school team, or somebody that's, played a year in some form of organized, or you want the guy that knows all the stats? Tell me, who do you want on your team? The guy that's actually done it? But see, in Christianity, because people are people, okay? Just all these two examples, they may be laughable, but I'll tell you what happens all the time when people, you get people in any area, they're people. It's not because they're Christian, non-Christian, they're just people. So you got stuff, people are going to act like people. So you got, when you have a source of information like you've had with the Word of God, now it's like a video game. Well, I'm going to hear this person and this person, I'm going to get all the information. I've heard about this, I've heard about healing, I've heard about prosperity, I've heard about marriage, I'm hearing, and I'm going to learn this guy, I'm going to listen to the whole lineup on Christian TV. The whole day. And I'm going to go to 15 websites. I'm going to download all the MP3s onto my phone. And I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to know it all. I'll be able to quote all these things. I'll be able to quote this guy and this guy. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to know these things. The problem is, it's the same thing as the other two examples. Because if all you do is hear, and hear, and hear, and don't do. See, the guy that knows a lot about football but never played, maybe he's watching a pro game and he's saying, well, why don't they do this and that? It's real easy to watch. And, well, this guy, I know about this guy that did this in that situation. I know this in this game. And he can tell you all the stuff that other pros did, but he's watching a bunch of pros doing it. He has no idea what's going on when that quarterback is looking down the field and how fast he has to react because he's never done it. He's just read about it. But he can quote all that stuff. Well, you have people that just hear and they've heard, and then they're like, well, this is what you do. But they'll quote, but what does knowledge do? It puffs up. Well, I know that I've heard that. I heard that back in 67. I heard that back in 97. However old you are, you know? I've known that for a long time. But they're not doing anything with it. It's tempting to do this, but what would you rather have? Somebody that's heard a certain thing, put it into practice, can do it, or somebody that's heard 15 different subjects but can't do any of them? I remember Keith Moore. Keith Moore is a pastor that used to teach at Rhema Bible Training Center. And he pastors a church in Missouri now and in Florida. And he traveled with Brother Hagin for many years. And he used to be in the healing school there at Rhema. And he had when he was young and he was starting out and started to help people in the healing school, and he would preach, and he would have people come in. I mean, people that came in that had terminal diseases, people that came in with on stretchers, people that came in with, you know, air tanks and all kinds of stuff. And he said this one person came in. He said this happened more than once. They were talking, and Keith Moore told them. You know, Matthew 8:17 says, he himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were healed. And this guy interrupted him and said, I know all those. Man, I've been when you were in diapers, I was following Brother Hagin. He goes, I know all those scriptures. And Keith Moore, being young in ministry, he was like, well, I guess I got to get some more scriptures. I got to get some they haven't heard. I got to dig. And he started to go down that direction, and the Lord checked him and said, son, if you give them the scripture that applies to their situation, and they don't do anything with it, they don't get excited about it, they don't receive it, they don't need another scripture. They need to act on the one they just heard. Did you hear me? You know what a lot of people are looking for? Something new. I want a new teaching. I want to hear it from another angle. You know what we usually need? We need more of the solid word, and we need to act on what we've heard. And when we act on what we heard and exercise it, we will get stronger, and we will make room for more, and we will be walking in the word. But it's easy to start feeling like I need to hear more. I need to hear more word. And you know what the deception is? Didn't we read? If you think it's here. What does it say? James 1:22, 1:25, in the voice it says, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find out you have been deceived. You know what the deception is? If I just hear another one, I'll finally get it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't hear more. We should hear the word. I'm not saying the Bible talks about the washing of the water by the word, but there's a difference that the enemy will push you. You don't feel like it's working. You don't feel like you have it all. And we can't walk by feelings, but you know what? Feelings will tell you, I just don't have it. I don't feel like I got it. I need to hear more. And you know what? What you're really waiting for? You're waiting to feel like it's true instead of acting like it's true before you see it manifest. And what you find out is when you start acting on the word that you've heard and act like it's true and it's all you need and it's the word of God and it's true and I'm going to act on it and I go forth, then you see it work and now you've done. Now you see something change. Now nobody can steal that from you because you've acted on the word. You've seen the word work. You're strengthened. And somebody could tell you, well, you do it this way and that way. But you've seen it work. You've acted on it. You've been a doer. And what is the doer? He's blessed. The hearer is not. Oh, it's easy. It's easy on your flesh even. Just hear more word. I'm not against hearing the word. We need to hear the word. But you know what? If you've got a full shopping cart, it's time to go and check out and go use what you just purchased and then come back for more. It's not time to just stack more on and stack more on. We can only digest so much, like I said, and if we would focus on what we've heard and just focus on putting it into practice just a little bit. You get something out of the message, say, I'm going to go do that. And you focus on it. I believe, at least where we're at, we'll preach in series. People just got to do whatever they're led to do. But what I found, whether I'm the hearer or whether I'm preaching it, when you hear something over a period of time, you hear it, but then you go away and you live life and you start implementing it, and then you get another shot of it, and you go implement it, it starts to get solid. You've had time to process. But if you listen to 10 messages in a row, the same day, that's not going to have the same effect. But you hear something, you start doing it. You find out. You kind of find out the boundaries. You see where things are working, where they're not. And then you hear some more, and you're like, oh, that answered that and that. And you go, and you're stronger, and you say, oh, this is working. Then you get a little more, and you start moving. And pretty soon, you're getting solid to where, do you notice it said when you read, when you hear the word, and then you go away and forget, it's just like you looked in the mirror, and you forgot what you look like. And a lot of times, if you hear one message or 10, and you don't do anything with it, it's like you heard it, but it doesn't actually impact your life. On the other hand, you could hear something, and if you hear it a little bit at a time, implement it a little bit at a time, you walk away 2 months later, 3 months later, it's part of you. It's there. It's the way you live. Your life has changed. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what we're after? Don't we want to be changed? Transformed into His image? Well, it doesn't happen overnight. Newsflash. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't cram. Cramming may have worked in high school. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I crammed for a lot of tests. I can't tell you what was on those tests. I got 100 on them, some of them. But all I did is rote memorization. When it came to the real world, I'm like, man, I wish I would have paid more attention to that. Geography is one of those things. Man, I could nail all that stuff, but man, I walked away. I don't remember a lot of that. On the other hand, I loved math. You know, I became a software engineer. But I loved math. And when I had a math test, and even in college, I would spend, you know, 3-4 hours at the library. I would do every problem that they had available and anything I could get my hands on. Algebra, calculus, whatever. I didn't take algebra in college, but, you know, calculus, different calculus. I would just do them and do them and do them over, and to where I could do everything that they had, I knew it, cold. And when I walked into the test, I was not anxious. Unless they threw something that was nothing they ever taught, I knew. I had gone through. I knew how to do it. And that today, I've gone back and looked. It takes me very little time if I work with my kids. Oh, okay, this is this, and I can help them. Because why? I took the time. It actually did that stuff. It wasn't just up here. I did it over time, over a semester. It got in there. But you can't cram. You can't cram for life. I'm going to get this word in me. We need to get the word in us over time, so when we face the test, the word is there. We're ready. I don't say that to put fear in you. I'm saying it's a process. You can't cram it in. People go to a conference. I remember I used to think this way. In college, I thought, you know, at Christmas break, when I get to Christmas, I'm going to go and I'm just going to immerse myself in this stuff, in some of this word stuff, and I'm going to get over this hump that I was facing. I'm just going to get it to where I'm just going to do it every day because I don't have school. I don't have school and everything. I'm just going to look into it, and then I'm going to get over it, and we'll be past that. That never happened. People go to a conference and say, "This." I thought this way. I went to this thing this weekend. Thought, it'll change my life. Now, I'm not saying you can't get your life changed. You absolutely can. It's usually an incremental word that if you'll act on it, that'll change your life. But you can't cram it in. God, one word thing, word that you can get, and it'll just go off in you. Here's the thing, though, that I found. You go to a conference, you may feel like everything's different. You don't put that into action. I give you 2 weeks. And that's what it seemed like, and I heard Pastor Hagin say, he's saying the same thing. He's like, you get hyped up and you're all ready to go about something. He said about 2 weeks later, you'll get to where, wow, it's normal life again. All the stuff that I thought would just magically change. Am I the only one that's ever thought? I thought I'd never go back. I'm changed. I'm not saying you can't change. How does it become permanent? You got to put it into your life. It's got to become part of what you do. Because if it's here, how many of you know, in a conference or something where all the stuff, other stuff is suspended, seems like it's all easy. Man, I have the answer. I couldn't see, but now I have the answer. Whereas you go back to real life, you go, oh, this is what that felt like. Darn. Now guess what you have to do? I have to do it. I have to act on it. And it's no easier now than what I thought it was before. And if I don't choose to do it, you know what I'll do? I'll bump up against that thing that I've hit, and I'll be like, man, still is hard. I guess I need to go hear some more word. Huh?
I ran up the hill. I just couldn't get it. You know what I need? I need to go get another run. Instead of, you know what? This wasn't going to be easy. And I say, God's word works. And I just set my chin like Flint. I just start going forward. And you see it work. That's a difference. Now, I mentioned this last week. I'm not knocking anything. But I've seen this over years and years. Okay? Not picking on anybody in particular. Just seen this decades. Because I see it doesn't matter if it's conferences, doesn't matter if it's teaching on the internet, and there's Bible schools is another form. People will think, if I go to Bible school, it'll get me over the hump. I'm facing certain things in life, but what I need to immerse myself for a few years, and then, woohoo, I'm over it. I got it. I mean, I just get so saturated with that when I go over, I'm going to be through it all. Let me tell you, I've been through Bible school. That's not the way it works. Okay? And you cannot compact. I don't care what is taught. That's for, if you're getting trained for the ministry, you can benefit from it, but you know it's not all for you. Did you know that? It's for the people you're going to minister to. And oh, I've seen this over years. I sat in those classes. You just absorbing stuff. You're putting that. You cannot possibly digest all that stuff 4 hours a day, day after day, and put it all in your life. It's impossible. That'd be like thinking, I can go to the grocery store, get a year worth of groceries, and sit down, and I'm going to eat it. It ain't not going to work. Now, you can store it and have it there for when you do need it, right? That's a different thing. That's what Bible school is like. It's not a rehabilitation program, or should not be. It's a training program, or should be. It should be to get you ready. Now, I'm not saying God won't grow you up. Oh, He will. But you can't just become, it's not a step function. It's not like you're here and then all of a sudden you're here because you just have so much. See, that's a deception that if you hear, somehow you can just do it all. You can't. You will go and you're getting deposits for other people. And you will be pulling from it for years. I mean, I sat in those classes and the deposits were made. And I have notes and stuff, you know, look at my notes once in a while, but a lot of it, what the Holy Spirit quickens to you, I found you don't have to write everything down. You write some things down, but the stuff that He really quickens to you that is changing you, it'll come up. You're talking to somebody, it'll come up because you have it in your inventory. And it could be something, you know, it's for that person, but you don't just digest everything. You think, well, this is just like, you know, all these subjects, I'm just going to boil it all down, and then I'm going to get it all, I'm going to have all this knowledge. That's not true. That's a deception. You can't digest it all. It's just like this first verse said. If you're doers, if you be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves or in the voice, if you think that hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. And you know what would happen? I went to Bible school. And I also went to church 3 times a week. You know how you grow spiritually? Your personal devotions. And you know, the Bible says He gave gifts unto men. And everybody should be connected with a local pastor. I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I've always practiced that before I ever pastored. I was there when the doors were open. I was there to receive. And I grew more in the church because it's supernatural. It's not something you can get off the internet. Amen. Amen. It's not. You can't grow. You need to be fed. See, let me just talk about this for a second because people don't understand that. You have apostles, you have prophets, you have evangelists, you have teachers, you have pastors. I'm not going to go into all of them, but a prophet has a certain ministry. Brother Hagin stood in the office of a prophet. There are not many prophets, okay, not as many as people think they are prophets, put it that way. An apostle is a sent one. There are apostles. Anybody that's a genuine missionary that's been sent to a place by God is an apostle. You have evangelists primarily focus on getting people saved, but don't grow them up. That's not the evangelist ministry. You'll see signs and wonders following an evangelist ministry. But people try to just do that themselves. They're not going to be able to do it. You have teachers. There's teachers that have been given to the body of Christ and teachers different scope of their influence. But you have people like Brother Hagin. I can name different ones. Andrew Womack. Different people that have been given their teaching gift to the body of Christ. But you can't grow like you should. Any of those are good. We need them all to be spiritually sound. But every believer, you need to be hooked up with the pastor. And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm saying this because this is the truth, and we all need to hear it. The word for pastor is the same word that's translated shepherd, and it literally means to feed. See, you get fed in the local body. You get fed. You should have your own devotions. You should have your time with God, but you will not grow, and I will not grow. You know, before I was a pastor in the church, I was there at Rhema 3 times a week, Wednesday, Sunday night, Sunday morning, and grew. That's how I was growing at Bible school. I'm not saying I couldn't grow through the other things. I did. But your primary way is, you know, as far as the ministry gifts, you need a pastor. Because this is supernatural. What's going on now is God feeding us through His Word. You can't just go through a smorgasbord and get, I'm going to get this teaching on this, this, and this, and this. Those are supplements. Did you hear me? Yes. You know what a supplement is? Like food-wise? Do you live? How are we doing? We're doing all right. You know what a supplement is food-wise, right? Do you live on supplements? No. You live on a pill, a bunch of pills? I hope not. We need a balanced diet, right? We need meat, vegetables, all grains, all these different things. You need to be fed. Now you can have supplements, but you can't live on the supplements. And you know what people are trying to do? They're trying to live on supplements. They're picking stuff out. That's not the same as you being hooked up with a pastor. It doesn't matter how old you are. Either. I have friends in the ministry older than me that they were at a specific church because of that pastor, and he was, I don't know, about the same age, younger than them. It doesn't matter. It's not that. It's the supernatural ministry that's going on, and God ministering to us through His Word. He will do that through the gift of a pastor. That is not the same as what goes on with other ministries. And what people are trying to do is they're emphasizing the hearing. So what they'll do is they'll say, I hear, I need this, this, this. And it's like they're picking out their own diet. It's supernatural where God, number one, we say, God, where would you have me to be? You don't pick it out like you're picking out groceries. We say, Lord, where would you have me to be? Because there's one place at any given time. I didn't say you'd be there forever. But there's one place at any given time. It's not me choosing. It's, Lord, you know where I'm going, what I need. You go and you hook up with Him and say, Lord, where do you want me? And then you go there. Guess what happens when you hook up there? Now God knows where you're going. He knows where the other people that are hooked up in that common body are going. And He knows what you need to hear that will then you'll be able to do it. Because you're in the place where you're going to walk out your call and you're going to get it exercised. So He's already got the whole exercise and development program figured out. Did you know it? Oh, it's the best news in the world. You don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to figure out everything for my life. What I have to do is, God, where do you want me? Do what you told me to do. And I know it's all worked out. I know you know where I'm going, and you told me to be here, so I'm not going to move from here until you told me to go someplace else. So as long as I'm here, I'm going to get everything I need to walk out your plan for my life here. And you're going to deposit what I need. You're going to give me the opportunity to exercise, you know, to beef up, to use that food, and I'm going to grow, and then I'm going to get more of what I need because you've called me here and you know where I'm going. Do you see? It's beyond a person. Are you with me? See, people have made it, I'm going to figure out, I'm just going to cherry pick and I'm just getting certain teaching. No, 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 you missed it. You missed it. You're focusing on the hearing. We're talking about the whole man growing up. And did you know it will be uncomfortable sometimes? How many of you know it's uncomfortable to grow? Be honest. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to exercise and grow. You ever pushed to get a time down or to, you know, get stronger or whatever? It's not easy. It's much easier to sit and watch TV. And you know what? It's much easier to eat. It's not easy to eat the things you're supposed to eat and then exercise what you're supposed to exercise, right? I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself. This is just the way it is. Well, you know what? It's a lot easier to sit and go, well, I just want to listen to more of this. Nah, I don't like you anymore. I'm going to listen to this guy. You laugh. You know that happens. I've heard it over and over. God's hooked me up with you, but I just like you. I just love you. Oh, you're so great, great. Now you ticked me off. I don't like you anymore. I'm going to go over here and listen to this guy anymore. I'm not sending you any more money. I'm sending you money. Huh? It's easy because you're at home. You do whatever. I don't like you anymore. I don't know you. It was all for you, but now I'm not sending you any more mail. And I'm not going to use my credit card and send anything online either. But now I love this guy. He's got the message from the Lord. So I'm going to go for him. And I'm going to get all I can from him. Woo! Until I don't like it anymore. But you know what God's way is? Am I too close to home this morning? I mean, we're being led by God. This is the truth. This is the truth, folks. That's a lot different than Lord. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me? I'm your servant. You're my master. You know better than I do. You know more than I do. I know I need to grow. I don't know what I need. You know what I need. I don't know what all is coming down the next 5 years. You know exactly what's coming. You know what I need. You know who I need to be hooked up with. Don't ever despise the people that God has hooked you up with. And you don't unhook unless God moves you on. People throw around the Lord's name way too easy. Way, way, way too easy. God's moving me on. Or they won't even say it. They just leave. Or just quit supporting somebody. No, you don't do that. It's precious who God hooks you up with. And he doesn't hook you up with everybody. Did you hear me? It doesn't. We live in a big world, even though it's small to the universe. It's a big world. And there are a lot of people in the world. And you can't reach them all. And your call is different than other people's. And who you're hooked up with might be different. You might have had a different background. You came from different things. Therefore, you hook up with this group. Other people, you say, why are all these churches around? Because there's different people, and people are at different levels. It's just the way it is. So we need to hook up with where God has told us to hook up. And in that, God has already figured out everything we need to hear and everything we need to grow. I didn't say the church is the only source. There will be other supplements, but we don't want to do without that. You do without that, it can be a matter of life and death. And I'm not exaggerating. So we hear. You have to do, and you do not want to despise whom God has hooked you up with. You stick there. Where to go? God, where would you want me? What would you want me to do? And then when he'll lead you by his spirit, by the inward witness, primarily by peace, you go where you're hooked up with. And this is the thing. People will say, oh, I'm so excited at the beginning. But you know, somebody, they're tempted to be offended. Somebody says the wrong thing. They don't like something somebody did. And then, well, I believe the Lord's moving me on. Well, that's dangerous. Let me ask you a question. If God puts you somewhere and you decide to move yourself out, then you're not getting what you need. You're going to hear certain things, but you're not, number one, you're not hearing the things you ought to hear. You think I can go do it wherever. Does God know what knows what he's doing or not? Does he? No, we go. And we hear. And we have the opportunity to do. And you know, as you have the opportunity to do, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So man sharpen each other. Sometimes sparks fly. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
And people don't like that. It's easy to decide, oh, I'm going to go do something different. But here's the thing. We're talking about being doers of the word. Well, that would include this part. Being led. Going where he would call us to go. Didn't the Bible say we'd be blessed if we did? Well, that's his word, what he's told you in his word, but also what he tells you by his spirit. And if he leads you to a certain place, we ought not to lead ourselves out. That's doing the word. Who's the one that's going to be blessed? The one that hears it or the one that does it? Does it? Does it? You know, over time, we get solid. We hear, then we have an opportunity to do. And as we do, we get further here, we get the right thing. And we get the right food, but we're getting the right exercise. And so we're getting strong. And we're getting solid. Then the Bible say that we would, in Ephesians 4, it says they gave gifts unto men so that what? We could grow up. So that we're not tossed around by every wind of doctrine. You know there's so many winds of doctrine in the world. Oh, this is the new teaching. Oh, this is, don't you know this is the new teaching? Yeah, it came around 30 years ago. It just wrapped a little different. Sound the same thing as that they were talking about 30 years ago. Just to different people and think it's all new. What Solomon say? There's nothing new under the sun. No, we need to just focus on what the basics. So many times it's the basics. Hearing the basics, be able to do the basics. Man, if you can just run the basics, we got it made. Well, we sometimes want, it's the hearing. I want more. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want to hear something new. Well, that can get us, it's called itching ears. Amen. No, but doers. We want to be doers. I don't know about you. I want to be a doer. I didn't say we were going to do it perfect. I didn't say, see, there's grace and there's mercy and there's help. There's confidence. There's a peace knowing you are in the right place where God has put you, and whether it's a job, whether it's a congregation, when you are there, we talked about this, touched on this several weeks ago, but when you are there, there's just such a confidence and a peace knowing, Lord, you led me here. You're obligated to get me everything I need, and this is not my problem. Oh, just such a peace. I guess I don't have to figure that out. What about so-and-so? That's not my problem. What about this? That's not my problem. I'm doing what I know to do, where I'm supposed to be doing it, and guess what? There's blessing there. There's mercy there. There's growth there. Hallelujah.